second one, I think, the operatory. Yeah, that one. I wouldn't mind doing that one. Sounds fair. So who ended up singing at that funeral? Thank you. Now I remember where I put all the boars. Put them in my pocket. Does something happen? It's tough on that. Yeah. Your visit landed wanted greatly perfect.
to mess with your own head.
Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to St. Benedict Parish. It is the 15th Sunday in Ordinary Time, and our celebrant today is Father Nicolombiso. Please join us in singing our first processional hymn, which is number 558, For the Beauty of the Earth. Yeah, so please stand.
Sunday again. So before we begin this Mass, may I please ask you to turn to your neighbor and introduce yourself. And if we have never met before, my name is Father Paul Nicolombiso. I'm the parochial vicar for the parish. I'm originally from Malawi, on the southeastern coast of Africa. And I was supposed to be at St. John, as I said the other Sunday, but today the program is mixed up because we have the parish picnic and with the parish family mass at 11 a.m., I'm sure maybe some people that are not here are preparing to be at the 11 a.m. Mass at St. Alphonsus. So let us begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Today we begin listening to a series of parables that Jesus gave about the kingdom of God. And we begin by listening to the famous parable, the parable of the sower. Let us pray at this Mass that we may develop that longing for the Word of God so that our lives may be fertile grounds for the bearing of fruit due to the Word of God that we normally hear. To prepare ourselves to celebrate these sacred mysteries, let us begin by calling to mind our sins and ask the Lord for his mercy and pardon. I confess
my
May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life. Let us pray. Our God, who show the light of your truth to those who go astray, so that they may return to the right path, give all for the faith they profess, are accounted Christians, the grace to reject whatever is contrary to the name of Christ, and to strive after all that does it honor. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. May I now invite all the children who would like to participate in the children's liturgy to please come forward. Dear Catechists, receive this book of the Word of God, which you are going to use to teach these children who have been entrusted in your care. And you, my dear children, you will now go forth to praise God in word and song. We will await your return so that together we can celebrate the Holy Eucharist. Go in peace.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, just as from the heavens the rain and snow come down and do not return there, till they have watered the earth, making it fertile and fruitful, giving seed to the one who sows and bread to the one who eats. So shall my word be that goeth forth from my mouth. My word shall not return to me void, but shall do my will, achieving the end for which I sent it. The word of the Lord.
The seed that falls on good ground will yield a fruitful harvest. The seed that falls on good ground will yield a fruitful harvest. You have visited the land and watered it. Greatly have you enriched it. God's water courses are filled. You have prepared the grain. The seed that falls on good ground will yield a fruitful harvest. Thus have you prepared the land, drenching its furrows, breaking up its clods, softening it with showers, blessing its yield. The seed that falls on good ground will yield a fruitful harvest. You have crowned the year with your bounty, and your paths overflow with a rich harvest. The untilled meadows overflow with it, and rejoicing close the land. The seed that falls on good ground will yield a fruitful harvest. The fields are garmented with flocks, and the valleys blanketed with grain. They shout and sing for joy. The seed that falls on good ground will yield a fruitful harvest.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are as nothing compared with the glory to be revealed for us. For creation awaits with eager expectation the revelation of the children of God. For creation was made subject to futility, not of its own accord, but because of the one who subjected it, in hope that creation itself would be set free from slavery to corruption and share in the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that all creation is groaning in labor pains, even until now. And not only that, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we also groan within ourselves as we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. On that day, Jesus went out of the house and sat down by the sea. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood along the shore. And he spoke to them at length in parables, saying, "A sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, where it had little soil. It sprang up and at once, because the soil was not deep, and when the sun rose, it was scorched, and it withered for lack of roots. Some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it. But some seed fell on rich soil and produced fruit, 100, 60, or 30-fold. Whoever has ears ought to hear." The disciples approached him and said, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" He said to them in reply, "Because knowledge of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven has been granted to you, but to them it has not been granted. To anyone who has, more will be given, and he will grow rich. From anyone who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because they look but do not see, and hear but do not listen or understand. Isaiah's prophecy is fulfilled in them, which says, 'You shall indeed hear but not understand. You shall indeed look but never see. Gross is the heart of these people. They will hardly hear with their ears. They have closed their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and be converted, and I heal them. But blessed are your eyes, because they see, and your ears, because they hear. Amen, I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Hear then the parable of the sower. The seed sown on the path is the one who hears the word of the kingdom without understanding it. And the evil one comes and steals away what was sown in his heart. The seed sown on rocky ground is the one who hears the word and receives it at once with joy. But he has no root and lasts only for a time. When some tribulation or persecution comes because of the word, he immediately falls away.
The seed sown among thorns is the one who hears the word, but then worldly anxiety and the lure of riches choke the word, and it bears no fruit. But the seed sown on rich soil is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields 100 or 60 or 30-fold. The Gospel of the Lord. When we were talking, when we were discussing Matthew chapter 10, I did share that the Sunday lectionary is trying to follow the structure of Matthew. I shared that Matthew, when he was presenting the message of Jesus, he chose to present it in five main discourses. The discourses are long, uninterrupted sermons of Jesus. We find the first of these discourses in Matthew chapter 5, 6 and 7. This is the longest discourse. It is called the Sermon on the Mount. It begins by saying Jesus went up the mountain and his disciples followed him. Then he sat down and began teaching them. So the contents of what Jesus taught is what is contained in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, popularly known as the Sermon on the Mount. And then we took three Sundays to discuss Matthew chapter 10, which is known as the Missionary Discourse. This is the second discourse. It begins by Jesus calling together the 12 apostles. And then he begins instructing them as he's about to send them out on a mission. So we took those three Sundays talking about the second discourse, the missionary discourse. Today we begin the third discourse. It is called the parabolic discourse. It is contained in Matthew chapter 13. Here we'll listen to a series of parables that Jesus gave about the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. Of course, we are remaining with two more discourses in Matthew chapter 18, which is called the community discourse. What should the life of believers be like in a community? So issues like forgiveness. And then the last one, in Matthew chapter 24 and 25, the eschatological discourse, because it talks about the end times, death, judgment, the second coming of the Son of Man. How do we know that Matthew divided the message of Jesus in these five main discourses? There is a statement that comes up again and again to mark the end of these discourses. At the end of Matthew chapter 7, where there is the statement, when Jesus had finished these words. At the end of chapter 10, the missionary discourse, when Jesus had finished instructing his disciples. At the end of the parabolic discourse, which we are starting today, we hear when Jesus had finished these parables. At the end of the community discourse, when Jesus had finished these words. And of course, at the end of the eschatological discourse, when Jesus had finished all these words, as if to summarize the whole gospel. And why did Matthew write the message of Jesus in these five main discourses? Again, by way of reminder, Matthew was writing for a predominantly Jewish audience. He was writing to people that were already familiar with the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, the most prominent figure is Moses. Moses is the lawgiver. He is the one who went up the mountain, and after having a discussion with God, he brought down the law, the commandments. And the law is actually at the center of the Jewish nation. We find this in the very first five books of the Bible: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Numbers. So by presenting the message of Jesus in these five main discourses, the five discourses are supposed to be a reflection of the five books of Moses, the law. Jesus is the new lawgiver. Jesus is the new and greater Moses. Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. So those were the arguments that Matthew was trying to make to convince the Jews to believe in Jesus. Coming back to today's gospel reading, as I said, we are going to look at a series of the parables that Jesus gave, parables about the kingdom of heaven. And we begin with the parable of the sower. It is popularly known as the parable of the sower. But I would say, perhaps to understand the message well, we would need maybe to rename the title of this parable. Perhaps instead of calling it the parable of the sower, it would be fitting to be called the parable of the different types of soils. Because this is what we get when we read the parable. When I read this parable for the first time, and I was preparing my homily, I asked myself, why did the sower waste the seed? Why was he scattering the seed on the path, on the pathway, where he knew that chances of growth were really minimal? Why did he scatter the seed on rocky soil? Why did he plant on these thorny bushes? Why did he not just concentrate on the rich soil? Well, I don't know here in the United States, but where I come from, seed is expensive. You don't just waste it like that. You would want to plant it where there are chances of growth. So why was this sower just being wasteful with the seed? That actually is the point of the story. The fact that this sower was prodigal in how he was just scattering the seed, wasting it as it were. When we were celebrating the Feast of the Ascension, we listened to Jesus instructing his disciples, "Go out into all the world and preach the good news to all nations." The scattering of the seed represents exactly that. The seed, which represents the word of God, it is actually the will of God that everyone must hear the word of God. But now, the question is, what is the response to the word of God? So the four different types of soils actually represent how people respond to the word of God. The four different types of soils represent different types of hearts, different types of reactions to the word of God. So today, let us actually ask ourselves, which soil do we identify ourselves with? The thorny bushes, the rocky soil, the soil on the pathway, or the rich soil, which is actually capable of bearing fruit? I like how parishes are structured here in the United States, especially where, as part of the parish, there is a school. And the school is actually a ministry of the parish. And actually, you cannot just run the parish. you run it alongside the school. The reason I like this is the schools actually provide an opportunity for evangelization. In fact, by the way, there is a gentleman up here, Sam, his name, he's serving Mass. And I remember when we were doing the graduation right here in the church, he got a scholarship for faith and ministry because he has been involved. He's a sacristan, he's an altar server, very much involved. But I was really amazed when I learned that he actually just converted when he came to the school. That's actually the type of reaction that can happen when you hear the word of God. But how many other students undergo the Catholic schools but do not respond accordingly? So when I celebrate funeral masses or weddings, at the end of the mass, I am greeted by people that are actually part of the congregation, and they share with me, "Father, thank you. All my life I went through Catholic schools, but it's been like 20 years since I entered a Catholic church, since I left college." And I ask myself, so what happened? That this person who was exposed to the Word of God throughout his or her entire education, that he or she got from the Catholic schools, but nothing happened. That's actually the point of the parable. When we hear the word of God, what is the response? There are even some people that were baptized, but we know that not everyone who was baptized is still a practicing Catholic. So what happened? Jesus says there could be the possibility of sowing the seed and it germinates, but then it can be choked and wither away. So for us, listening to this parable, again, which type of soil do we identify ourselves with? Now, the point is not that we identify with this particular soil and we can never do anything about it. No. The goal should be to be the rich soil, which is capable of bearing fruit. And there's something we can do about it. You know, the other day I entered one of the grocery stores here. I was amazed when I saw outside soil for sale. Before I came to the United States, I never imagined that you can sell soil. I knew that you can sell fertilizer, yes, but not soil. And I asked the people that were with me, I said, "So, what do you do with this soil?" And they said, "Okay, you buy it, and then you can improve the fertility maybe of your yard." It's only in America where this can happen, perhaps. Then there is a possibility that even barren soil can be improved. It means that even our hearts can also be improved to bear fruit. So what can we do? Why don't we develop love for the Word of God? Reading the Word of God every day, a few verses, a few chapters. I'm really impressed with the young adults in this parish. They meet every Tuesday evening, and share the Word of God. Currently, they are actually reflecting on the Gospel of Matthew. If you are a young adult in the congregation and you are thinking of joining them, you are welcome. But there are also other ways that we can develop an interest in the Word of God. Being open to to this word of God, where we are humble before God and be ready to believe what the word of God says. It's unfortunate that we are more likely to believe in Google, although there is a disclaimer when you Google something, AI can make mistakes, but we still believe it, but not trust the word of God when Jesus says, I am the truth. And not so many people believe what Jesus says. The parable of the sower, or the parable of the different types of soils, is supposed to help us to cultivate, to fertilize, as it were, our hearts, so that the word of God can bear fruit in our lives. So let us pray today for that type of intimacy with Jesus, with openness to his word, so that we can believe his word and transform our lives.
I believe in one God, Christ teaches us through parables. Christ is the sower of the seed of God's word. Let us now respond to his work by praying to the Father.
That the church in the world today may be like the rich soil yielding a harvest of 100-fold, we pray to the Lord. That the leaders of our nation will govern in a way which is accountable to God and to us, we pray to the Lord. That people who are plagued by doubt or suffering may receive the word of God and be converted, we pray to the Lord. That all pilgrims and travelers during these summer days may journey in safety and return home, refreshed and renewed, we pray to the Lord. Prayer. That those who are close to death may know true faith and inner peace, we pray to the Lord. That those who have died, especially Francis Davis, that they may live in Christ forever and ever, we pray to the Lord.
Father in heaven, your graces always achieve their purposes. As we make these requests in prayer, teach us to value your blessings. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Our offertory hymn is number 511. Your words are spirit and life. Number 511.
Pray now, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. Look upon the offerings of the Church, O Lord, as she makes her prayer to you. Grant that when consumed by those who believe, they may bring ever greater holiness through Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere, to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God. For in you we live and move and have our being. And while in this body, we not only experience the daily effects of your care, but even now possess the pledge of life eternal. For having received the first fruits of the Spirit, through whom you raised up Jesus from the dead, we hope for an everlasting share in the Paschal mystery. And so with all the angels we praise you, as in joyful celebration, we acclaim.
O
You are indeed holy, O Lord, and all you have created rightly gives you praise. For through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the power and working of the Holy Spirit, you give life to all things and make them holy. And you never cease to gather a people to yourself, so that from the rising of the sun to its setting, a pure sacrifice may be offered to your name. Therefore, O Lord, we humbly implore you, by the same Spirit, graciously make holy these gifts we have brought to you for consecration, that they may become the body and blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, at whose command we celebrate these mysteries. For on the night he was betrayed, he himself took bread, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it. For this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, and gave the chalice to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it. For this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith.
We proclaim your death, O Lord, and profess your resurrection until you come again.
Therefore, O Lord, as we celebrate the memory of the saving passion of your Son, his wondrous resurrection and ascension into heaven, and as we look forward to his second coming, we offer you in thanksgiving this holy and living sacrifice. Look, we pray, upon the oblation of your church and recognizing the sacrificial victim by whose death you willed to reconcile us to yourself. Grant that we who are nourished by the body and blood of your Son and filled with his Holy Spirit may become one body, one spirit in Christ. May he make of us an eternal offering to you, so that we may obtain an inheritance with your elect, especially with the most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with blessed Joseph, her spouse, with your blessed apostles and glorious martyrs, and with all the saints on whose constant intercession in your presence we rely for unfailing help. May this sacrifice of our reconciliation, we pray, O Lord, advance the peace and salvation of all the world. Be pleased to confirm in faith and charity your pilgrim church on earth with your servants, Leo, our Pope, and Paul, our Archbishop, Eusebio and Frank, our auxiliary bishops, the order of bishops, all the clergy, and the entire people you have gained for your own. Listen graciously to the prayers of this family whom you have summoned before you. In your compassion, O merciful Father, gather to yourself all your children scattered throughout the world. To our departed brothers and sisters, and to all those who are pleasing to you at their passing from this life, give kind admittance to your kingdom. There we hope to enjoy forever the fullness of your glory. Through Christ our Lord, through whom you bestow on the world all that is good. Through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. Christ, our Savior, taught us to call God our Father, and so, at the Savior's command, and formed by divine teaching, we now dare to say, deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy, we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you," look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. And now let us take a moment to offer each other the sign of peace. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb.
Our first communion hymn is number 327, One Bread, One Body. Our next hymn is number 418, Open My Eyes. Rest now in me.
Open my eyes, Lord. Help me to see your face. Open my eyes, Lord. Help me to
Let us pray. Having consumed these gifts, we pray, O Lord, that by our participation in this mystery, its saving effects upon us may grow through Christ our Lord.
We invite everyone to join us at these upcoming events. The Grief Support Group is a monthly drop-in session, July 19th, Sunday at 12 p.m. The Training for Extraordinary Ministers of Holy Communion on July 20th at 7 p.m. at St. Benedict. And the OCIA Inquiry Session on July 25th, Thursday at 7 p.m. at St. Alphonsus. Alpha Course is coming to our parish family in September. Alpha is a program that creates space for honest conversations around some of life's biggest questions. Registration coming soon. We're excited to launch our new parish family website. It's a one-stop place for news and information. And today is our parish family barbecue. Please join us at St. Alphonsus beginning at 12 o'clock for a great meal and connection time. Lastly, as we continue celebrating the second anniversary of our parish family this July, we invite you to learn more about our journey and partners in the gospel by reading this week's bulletin. At the Parish Family Barbecue, stop by and visit the table of our Pastoral Leadership Council. They'd love to answer your questions, hear your thoughts, and share more about where our parish family is headed. We hope to see you there.
So I'm looking forward to seeing all of you at the parish picnic. As you have heard, we are all invited, and perhaps I'll have an opportunity to get to know some of you that we have never interacted. I'll get to, the opportunity to know more about you, and perhaps you can also know more about me as well. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go forth. The Mass is ended.
Our recessional hymn is number 440, O God, our help in ages past. 440. See if Hazel can help out.